I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Dan Jason joins me again. He's got a revised edition of his 1971 book, Some Useful Wild Plants, A Foraging Guide to Food and Medicine from Nature. It's updated and has the timeless illustrations by Robert Inwood. The book has over 100 common, useful wild plants that can be found in the province and throughout parts of Canada. It's a good guide for foragers, herbalists, gardeners, and anyone who wants to use the plants we encounter regularly for food as well as medicine. It's astonishing when you read the book to see all the remedies that stuff you might find in your backyard provide. Dan Jason is a promoter of organic sustainability. He lives on Salt Spring Island, where he founded Salt Spring Seeds, a successful mail-order seed company. He was on a year ago when The Power of Pulses was published. Dan will be at the North Vancouver Seedy Saturday this weekend, the 18th of March. He'll have books for sale there. Visit saltspringseeds.com for more information. This new edition of Some Useful Wild Plants is from Harbor Publishing. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Dan Jason. Mr. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So this book came out originally in 1971. You had come to B.C. just before that, I guess, in the late 60s, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What, you went to McGill, is that correct?
I went to McGill, got a degree in anthropology and psychology, but when I came out west, I discovered plants, and it was thanks to a friend of mine, really, named David Manning, who introduced me to wild plants. And it was funny because as I was growing up in Montreal, I always wanted to dig up our lawn and mm-hmm. plant stuff, and it was not heard of in those days. Everybody was just into landscaping, and I wanted to grow some veggies. And basically, I had it in my blood, my love of plants. And as soon as I connected with this guy, Dave, who's still a good friend,
yeah.
then I started researching edible and medicinal wild plants that you could forage.
And then these are plants that we can find throughout British Columbia, but also throughout Canada, is that right?
Pretty much throughout Canada, yeah. There's some that are only in the Pacific Northwest here, but most of them are very common and can be found pretty much anywhere.
So you decide to put a book together, and then I guess you get Robert Inwood. He does the illustrations, is that right?
Yeah, he was in the Spokane Valley where we were, and he had been a cartoonist in Los Angeles, and we just connected because we were neighbors, and he started doing some of the drawings, and then we were on a roll before we knew it.
And even though the illustrations are in black and white, I mean, they're really evocative. I mean, they really, you know, I mean, I could take the book and go outside and find these things without a problem.
I agree. And a lot of people who are picking up the book now in this new edition are quite smitten by the drawings. And I'm so pleased that it's having a second life now.
Yeah, and so he's done some new ones for this edition, has he?
No, he didn't do any new drawings for this edition now. He's done a lot of books since, but not in the realm of botany.
I see. So over the years, I mean, I'm sure you've heard from readers who've used the book. I mean, they must tell you just how indispensable it's become.
Well, it's funny. I just had a conversation with with Howard White, who runs Harbor Publishing, and he told me that he just had to reprint it because when back in the days in the 70s and the 80s, he ran out of, like, he had to get a new copy about five or six times because so many people were interested in it. So he took it on himself. He thought, well, I just got to reprint this.
Yeah. It sold at the time, I guess, 30,000 copies. Is that right?
Something like that. It went through, I think, six or seven editions. And still one of the all-time best-selling books in British Columbia, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, what makes a plant wild? I mean, one assumes that it just grows there by itself. But, I mean, if one, like my copy of the book came with a packet of alfalfa seeds.
Oh, no.
So does that mean, then, that if I plant that in my garden, that alfalfa is wild as well?
Well, the alfalfa doesn't quite fit the bill of most of the other ones there because that's normally a cultivated crop, but it easily escapes and can be found wild pretty much in farmland across southern Canada.
Right.
So it's not really a wild wild one. Most of the other ones in the book are, with maybe a couple of exceptions. But some of them were native, and some of them were introduced when the Europeans first came here.
And so, like, the other thing that I remember growing up as a kid, they used to say wild plants are, say, birds, if they're eating seed somewhere, and then they drop it along the way as they're going another place.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Yeah, and so is a wild plant then something that just keeps growing year after year? I mean, is that like a perennial? Is that what one would call it?
Some are perennial and some just self-sow quite readily and just keep on establishing themselves. And with the help of birds, they go further.
Yeah. I guess it surprised me in reading your book just how many of these wild plants are in and around Vancouver where I live.
There are. There's a lot of great plants. You know, just ordinary things like chickweed and miner's lettuce and nettles and dandelion. And they're all really useful, and they've been known to be so for, you know, way back, hundreds of years ago even.
Yeah. I mean, if I've got a cut or a stomachache, I mean, there's something out there for that, right?
Yeah.
Are you someone who does that? I mean, like, if you get, say, a minor medical condition, are you someone that turns to wild plants rather than, say, the pharmacy?
Yeah, I do. They're my friends, and I use them when appropriate, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to be careful, though, because, I mean, in the book you have a section there of wild plants that are poisonous. I mean, do you hear a lot about that? I mean, people that eat some bad plant and get ill or even die? Or are we pretty savvy, say?
Well, it's pretty rare that something like that happens, and most of the ordinary weeds and wild plants in the book are so common that you'd never mistake them for anything else. The ones that I talk about in terms of being poisonous, they're pretty easily identified, and you normally wouldn't make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the other day as I was reading the book, because we're all, I guess a lot of people I know are planting tomatoes or getting ready to. And I always wondered why we didn't do anything with the leaves, but I guess those are poisonous from what I gather.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good example. You know, they are poisonous, but you don't really have to go to extreme lengths to tell people don't eat tomato leaves. It doesn't happen. People don't do it.
Yeah. I guess we know what to eat and what not to eat, right?
Yeah.
The other thing, there's a section in the book about the different kinds of seaweed, and I guess because we live on this coast, I mean, it's quite abundant.
Yeah, most seaweeds are edible, and we have so much of them, but
yeah.
These days you have to be careful where you're harvesting them because, you know, there's so much noxious stuff in our harbors and anywhere near any town, you know, you've got to make sure that you're harvesting clean.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah, so there aren't any that are poisonous, right?
No, there aren't.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering about the seed business, because that's the trade that you're in.
Yeah.
Are you noticing that people are buying a lot of a certain kind of seed nowadays?
Well, they are, and I have to pat myself on the back for popularizing things that you normally don't see in catalogs, but now people are starting to plant lentils and chickpeas and peas as a dry bean.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting more into the higher protein things, more substantial crops.
Yeah. Do you find that there are, say, cycles year to year? I mean, are there certain things that are in vogue as opposed to, say, one year as opposed to another?
Definitely, yeah. It's pretty interesting, and it's very unpredictable, but just like you say, something's going to be in one year, and then next year, all of a sudden, it's not in anymore, and something else has replaced it.
Yeah, has kale become popular over the years?
Yeah, kale. Kale, I have to say, it gets more and more popular.
Yeah.
That's because it's such a great plant. It's just so nutritious, and, you know, it's in the the brassica family that has things like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and a whole bunch of different greens, but the kale is the most nutritious of all, by far, and it's the most hearty of all.
Yeah.
So people are, on the coast here, people are so tuned into it, it's amazing.
Well, this is such an enjoyable book, because I learned a lot from it, and it's a book that I'm going to actually carry outside when I'm on my walk. Congratulations on it coming out again. I appreciate your time today, Dan.
Thanks a million.
Some Useful Wild Plants, A Foraging Guide to Food and Medicine from Nature. It's published by Harbor. Dan Jason joined me on the line from Salt Spring Island in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.